Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, inviting you to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Jordan from Federal Way, Washington.
This is Mark chapter 10. Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left all." And these are the 12 apostles talking to Jesus. "We've left all and have followed you." Jesus said, "Amen." When Jesus says amen, he's agreeing. It's a heartfelt agreement, like a dad assuring his kids, but now dad is going to tell them more. He says, "You're right, amen, I say unto you," but he's going to say this out of care for him like a father with his children. "There is no one that has left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the gospel's sake, for the good news' sake, but he will receive 100-fold now in this or present season houses, brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and fields." There's going to be much more. "And with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many first shall be last, and last first." Do you think he's just talking physically about these things that we're going to receive, or is he talking in different realms?
Well, I know there's a time in Matthew where he's in a house, and he talks about his physical mom and his brothers were outside. And then those that were inside, he makes a distinction between them. If they were to do God's will, that he called them his sisters, mothers, and brothers. So that's a difference in those.
Mark 3, right?
I had a note where one was, maybe you already read it. Yeah.
Yeah, Mark 3.
Mark 3.
Yeah. Is he really goes into that. That was 31 through 35. So it's talking not just your mothers and brothers are in a physical sense. He's talking about people you don't even know that you're going to be in Jesus's house with Jesus's kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the sum total is mom, the comfort of there's always somebody there for you, you know, if this is really right. And you don't just look at the back of their heads. They were sitting in this scene that we read back in Mark just not too long ago, is a scene of everybody sitting in a circle looking at Jesus. Everybody was focused on Jesus. They were not Presbyterian or Baptist or Seventh-day Adventist or whatever. They were just Jesus's kids. And they had left the physical, basically. And in other words, they were not translated or they were not into something weird. Some people go home and sleep in their own bed every night, and they still see their mom and dad, but they belong to a different a spiritual. They belong to a fellowship group, or they read the Bible daily, and maybe the mom and dad are not reading it. But this is not talking about some weird out-of-body experience. They still live a normal life. They still are eating dinner maybe with their mom and dad and so on, but they also have a life in Christ, and maybe the whole family does together. So it's not talking about something out of this world or out of this age. It's talking about the kingdom of the heavens. "And in the age to come, eternal life, but many first will be last and last will be first." Was that stated in Matthew? Many first will be last and last will be first. But it's sure stated here in the book of Mark, which talks about servitude. Isn't that a very bold statement? I can see what Ivan Panins was, why he made the statement about learning first about the rules and the order, living in a new household, the kingdom of God, and obeying his rules where we don't try to be one better than the other or ruler over others. And we need to be careful of each other. And the first are going to be last. The older, the people more experienced should be serving the ones that are new, not ruling over them. Next context, Mark 10, 32 through 34.
And they were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed, and they that followed him were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them the things to happen to him, saying, Lo, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the nations, and they shall mock him, and spit upon him, and scourge him, and kill him. And after 3 days he shall arise again.
So he is alone with the 12 disciples, right? This is, he took again the 12 and began to tell them things that happened. This sounds like he's alone with the 12, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are things that he is going to tell the 12 that he's not going to talk to the crowds. Nobody else is going to hear. This is something that is between him and them. And how many times does he do this? We've noticed this is, has this happened a lot in the past? There's another place later on that's going to talk about this, so we're not going to talk about it because we're going to treat it like we don't know that much about it yet. But start noticing when he is alone with the 12 and doesn't let other people know until later on the Bible is written, and then we're able to read this, or the Holy Spirit can tell people about this. So now he's talking about his death. He's taken them alone in private, and he's talking about the most important thing. We're going to focus now on the most important thing that has happened of Jesus' 3.5 years, even from his birth to his becoming, going through the temptation, his being baptized and going through the temptation for 40 days and 40 nights, and then starting the ministry. He's starting to introduce to them the most important thing that he does in all of these gospels, and that's to die for us. He's introducing to that he's going to be, he's going to take on our sins. He's going to be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. Isn't it interesting that the head of the religious people are going to kill Jesus? It's not the average man. It's not the sinner. It's these people that we have always thought know better about God, knew more about God, and that they kill him. They've read the Bible. They've served in God's place as a priest before the incense altar of incense, the menorah, the table of showbread. They've been in the temple of God, in the holy place, and once a year into the Holy of Holies. And these priests, and let's see the list of them. Does it say the chief priest first?
Chief priests and scribes.
The chief priests that were able to go into the holy place and on occasions the Holy of Holies and stood in God's place, and the ones that wrote down and kept the Bible at our access, and they will condemn him to death. And who is he telling this to? Fishermen's kids, to an IRS agent, to a tax gatherer. He's revealing it only to these 12, and he says, watch this. What do you think, in Jesus' coming, what do you think the churches are going to do? We're backing up here And everyone in the church is going to go, oh, we're going to know Jesus when he comes. You ever wonder about that? The only people he ever really got mad at and angry with and physically threw them out of the temple were the religious guys. You don't hear this on religious radio. Everybody's looking at me, going, you're on dangerous territory here. No, it's the truth.
You know, we talk about it. It says the first will be last and the last first, and that you're supposed to receive like a child. I was reading Matthew with my wife this week, and it actually says, we're talking about the religious people, in the end of Matthew, that Pilate understood that the only reason that they were killing him was because of envy. They were trying to be number one. Jesus calls him out for that in Matthew. They wanted what they wanted out of this, not what God wanted. And that's what he's trying to tell them that they shouldn't be doing.
And this is the good news. This is in the, because just one context about leaving your father, mother, children, and fields for my sake and the good news sake, the gospel. And he's telling them the good news. Now, the good news is that Jesus is going to die for our sins. He's going to take all of our sins of the whole world and even future people born like we're born, and his death is going to cause the remission of sins, the wiping away of all sins through his death, his blood, and his resurrection. And they're all going to be taken care of. And he's telling it to fishermen's kids, first four fishermen's kids, and a tax gatherer and others, seven others for 12, you know, whatever their profession. And he even lists in order, number one, the chief priests are going to turn against him. The scribes are going to condemn him to death, the Son of God. And they're going to deliver him up and scourge him, mock him, spit upon him, and scourge him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. The religious, he does not say anybody outside of religion, does he? Chief priests and scribes. That's shocking. I don't hear that coming from pulpits. Have you ever heard that?
I have not.
And he's not talking.
I shook my head. No.
Anyway, let's go on to the next one. I think I've said enough about that one, but that's not the way I thought when I first started seeking God. I thought religious people were, they had an air of righteousness about them. And then the more I started reading the Bible and started reading what Jesus was saying, people can have an outward air. You know, they could have an outward appearance, and yet inwardly, they're not yielding to God. And those are the ones. And you won't find anybody else, even people that were demon-possessed, were soft to Jesus. People were coming to him, asking to be healed, right and left. And everyone that he laid hands on was healed. And people's lives were changed. But the religious, the chief priests. Now, when he dies, later on, something's going to happen to one person that was part of this category about being a religious person. And he's going to have a change, but we can't talk about him yet. They're shaking my head. Don't talk about him yet. So anyway, we can add that.
We know who you're not supposed to talk about.
Do you do?
Yes.
Some other people probably do too. But those are the rules. So the next context is Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45. So some religious people will have to change their, and he had to totally change, and a huge thing. I mean, what happened to him was not just, his whole life had to change. And so it was a spectacular change. It wasn't just a slight change. It was a spectacular change.
And there come to him James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, saying to him, Teacher, we would thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall ask thee. And he said to them, what would you I should do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit on the right and one on thy left in the glory. And Jesus said to them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we can. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized, you shall be baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give, but for him who it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant concerning James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that they who are accounted to rule over the nations lord it over them, and their great exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever would be first among you shall be the bondman of all. For the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
This kind of proves the whole thing that Ivan Panin's talking about, isn't it? And the word baptism is found three times in there. Can you drink of the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And he's talking about his death, because baptism is a death, the death of the old man and the raising up of a new. And Jesus actually had to do this for us. There was no other sacrifice that was, it required a lamb without spot or blemish, and the only lamb without spot or blemish could only be Jesus. It could only be him. No man. Isn't it interesting how you see all of our heroes in the Bible, God is very careful to point out that they had a fault. Moses is actually considered by the Hebrews as being a godlike character. He really is. And there have been people that they considered that are like Moses, you know, modern day people that they really highly respected. But God was very careful to point out his mistakes, his failings. King David, a man after God's own heart and mind, he had two failings. And he actually could have died for one of them. So wasn't this subject covered by Jesus before? You know, who's going to be chief? Who's going to be number one? Grant us, okay, we're going to go at this another way. We want to sit in your left and your right.
Who's going to be the greatest? Wait a minute. We just want to, that's going right at it another way. You're right. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Didn't we talk about this before, guys? I mean, but aren't we that way, though? I don't want to punish myself too much, but. You have to laugh at yourself in this. You know who are accounted to rule over the nations, lord it over them. Remember that the questionnaire, the survey that we had out. What kind of politics is this getting at? Is this getting at politics? Because communism, what's their politics? Heavy-handed rule from the top. What's the kingdom? In America or in other or kingdom on the world, what are they like? Heavy-handed ruling over people. The only government that then there's socialists. I don't know what that's about, but it still ends up being heavy-handed, and so does even America's this year turned out to be heavy-handed. Certain people ruling over the rest.
Well, it says
of us.
It two times. It says, "You know that they who are accounted to rule over." One, nations lord it over to them, and their great exercise authority over three them. It's over, over, over. He put three overs there. Like that's the earth. That's how they do things. But it's not so among you. Whosoever would become great will be your minister, and whoever would be first shall be the bondman of all.
So a bond servant or a servant? We should be bond servants or servants. The word minister means to servant, serve. You know, A waitress ministers by feeding you food. A nurse ministers when you're in the hospital. It's the same word. I don't know why we've always turned this into religious. Do you have anybody got a Greek? I forgot what the name minister, what the word minister
That's
is.
It's a Greek one.
Is it? Anybody have anything that stands out to them?
I thought it was in verse 41. It says, in hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And so they turned on them, but they had just previously wanted to be great themselves. So, like we were saying, it's just within people to do that.
To not only want to rule over, but to be indignant when the other guy gets caught. Or when they step out and try to be...
They wanted the best seats, and they wanted the seats that were better than the other 10 disciples were going to get. And they came right out and said it this time, but the last time they all kept silent.
Yeah, I think it's diaconia. I thought so. Deacon. Mm-hmm. Deacon is actually through whiter. It's a person that is actually supposed to be, you know, like a laundry person that owns a laundromat, and you send them white shirts, and it goes through the laundry, and they come out, and there's some blood spots on it, and you send it back because it wasn't truly whitened. And that's what deacon, and there seems to be an office in a deacon in churches where they collect the money and they park cars.
I didn't ever see that in the Bible.
I never saw
that
parking
they care
cars.
About a person being clean.
Yeah.
They care about a person being clean.
Yes.
To help them be clean.
Yeah. Forgiven of sin.
Yes. They're a very forgiving person.
Yeah. And they listen to them and help them out. They don't, oh, you dummy, why did you do that? So, I mean, they didn't say that.
They wanted them to be better. Yeah. They want to help make people better.
Don't parents minister to their children? You know, good parent, they won't lord it over them. If you want a neurotic kid, rule over your child, you know, with a rubber mallet or something, you know. But if you want your children to be great, you serve them. But you don't spoil them. You help them. And number one, you want them to get along. You don't want them fighting over who's the greatest. So they have to learn how to respect each other. So a minister is a through-whiter, is a person that's interested in people being forgiven for their sins.
So he's got two things. If you want to be great, be a through-whiter. And if you want to be first, you got to be the slave to all of them.
A bondman.
A bondman to all. If you want to be great,
yeah,
you can do this. But if you want to be first, you do this. It sounds like if you want to be low, here's a low piece. And if you want to be the first, you got to be the lowest piece.
Right.
Now, which is totally opposite of what they asked for. They wanted to be right and left. They wanted to be on the left hand and the right hand. And he goes, no, you got to be here. And if you want to be great, you want to be first, you want to go here. And they thought first was beside him.
Now, these all happened. The crowd wasn't around them. These are Jesus and the 12. The other 10 got indignant. So we've been going with him in the last two contexts. Remember, we said that Jesus, he was with the 12. He took the 12 and to tell them about this and about his dying on the cross and so on. Then he took these 12 that he had taken to himself after he explained that he's going to be killed by religious people and scourged and spit on. And then the 12, two of them came to Jesus of the 12, but it was just the 12 in the last context. Now he's going to, if we're walking with Jesus, here comes the crowd, right? All of a sudden, it's going to get noisy, and it's going to be a crowd. It was just the 12 in the last two contexts, 46 through 52, and we're finishing up Mark chapter 10.
And they come to Jericho as he went out from Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. The son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the wayside. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out all the more a great deal, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and said, "Call you him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he calls you." And he, casting away his garment, sprang up and came unto Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said, "What will that I should do for thee?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, thy faith has made thee whole." And straightway he received his sight and followed him in the way.
Okay. And here again is that word "immediately." It's about the 34th time already that that word, we've heard that word "immediately" 34 times. Jesus comes as a servant, and the guy asked him. He didn't, "Well, come back here. We'll set up this time, and we'll baptize you at this time. Or come here. We're going to do this in the church service on this day when we do the healing." This all happened immediately. Laid hands on him and immediately received his sight and followed him in the way. Okay, chapter 11. This is, context is 1 through 11. This is a 1 through 11 context.
And when they draw near unto Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and saith to them, "Go into the village that is over against you, and straightway as you enter into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon no man ever sat."
Now, he said this immediately. He's going to say this a couple of times in here. When something happens immediately, something important is going to happen.
Something's impending.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. "Loose him and bring him. If any say to you, 'Why do you this?' say, 'The Lord has need of him.' And straightway he sends him back hither. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door without in the open street, and they loose him. And a certain of them that stood there said to them, 'What do you, loosing the colt?' And they said to them, 'Even as Jesus had said,' and they let them go. And they bring the colt unto Jesus and cast on him their garments, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments upon the way, and others branches which they had cut from the fields. And who went before him and who followed cried, 'Hosanna, blessed who cometh in the Lord's name. Blessed the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and having looked around about all things, it being now the eventide hour, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Well, we're running out of time. We're going to go through this context when we meet again. And in the meantime, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."